Do you like surprises? Interesting enough, Ron, thank you. Thanks, Ron, for reading that today. I very much appreciated the way in which you engaged in our Advent reading. But surprises. Surprises can come in many different shapes and sizes, as you may very well know. They can be totally random and unexpected, or even anticipated and hoped for. They can be good or bad, spontaneous or planned, but whether we think we are ready or not, a surprise brings with it a wave of emotions and cause for reflection. If you have ever been part of a surprise birthday party, you know that they can and will inspire an outburst of emotion and reflection. You know, the one where everyone hides behind the curtains and the couches and the chairs and they're in the dark, they're waiting for the special guest to arrive so that they can jump out and shave a few years off of a person's life on their special day by shouting, "Surprise!" You know, it's then that your life flashes before your eyes and you reflect on whether you want to still be friends with these overly zealous surprises. Well, my hope and prayer is that you will be surprised by God, because God is full of surprises, but not in the way that we might think or imagine. For God even wraps surprises in his wonderful surprises. In many ways, God's blessings to us come as unexpected surprises, because frankly, his ways are not our ways. We read in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, I want to talk about two surprises that we find in our passage. Surprise number one, God is gathering his people. Now, on the one hand, we know this. And we see this historically. We see Micah, he's a contemporary of Isaiah. We see that he's, he's right, generally speaking, in around the reign of Uzziah and Hezekiah. And we know that he's declaring that the people have become idolatrous. And they've actually forsaken their first love, and they are making for themselves their own gods. And they're doing this in many ways. They're doing this economically. They're doing this religiously. They're doing this culturally. And so Micah comes and he speaks into that. He engages with his community with the voice of truth. And he declares, he says, God is gathering his people. Well, surprise, surprise, they are not who you might expect. Micah declares that God will call the lame, God will call the hurting, God will call the sick, the blind, and the outcast to himself. Micah 4:6-8. It ought not to surprise us that even here in Micah's prophetic word, God is declaring that he delights in using broken things. God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop. It takes broken clouds to give rain. It takes broken grain to give bread. It takes broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. Moses had a terrible stutter, yet he was used by God to approach the mighty Pharaoh and free the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Rahab Well, she was simply called a prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. Yet she was used to save God's people. And this might surprise you, but God considered it a very appropriate thing for Rahab to be one of Jesus' relatives. And she is recognized. She's recognized in the lineage of Jesus. King David was chosen as one who would rule Israel, even though he was the youngest among a poor shepherding family. God used a teenage girl who somehow became pregnant, and her name was Mary. And God used this teenage girl to give the world the greatest gift it would ever receive. Paul used his authority to horribly persecute Christians, yet God used him to spread the gospel around the Mediterranean and ultimately to the ends of the earth. God delights in surprising us in ways we cannot truly comprehend. God ultimately surprises us when Jesus is born lowly and humbly in a manger, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a baby in a manger. This baby is the one who rides into Jerusalem. And we see the crowd as they declare, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" You know, this is literally who Micah is talking about. But they were surprised because this king came and he wasn't the same kind of king that they were used to or had thought of or had anticipated. And he came humbly and lowly riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey. They were expecting an earthly kingship. They were expecting rule from a throne in Jerusalem. And you know, the best of the best would take their place at his right hand. And we know even the disciples, as they gather and they travel with Jesus, and Jesus time and time again is showing them that He's come for the brokenhearted. He's come for the downtrodden. He's come for the outcast. He's come for the fringe. And yet even the disciples argued and fought and bickered about who was going to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom. And when Jesus finally was established on the throne in Jerusalem, which one of them was going to be able to sit right next to his right hand? You see, the best of the best, they take their place at his right hand. But we hear the words of Jesus. And Jesus answered them in Luke 5. He says, "Well, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick who need a doctor. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The people in Micah's day needed the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I so wanted to sing that, but then Facebook mutes the audio, and I didn't want to have that happen today. Sorry, Facebook, I do love you. You know, the people in Micah's day, they needed the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, which in Micah points to the one who would come and mend the broken and the hurting. Well, that's surprise number one. There is one coming, and he will be king, and his throne will be established in Jerusalem, and he will rule. Surprise number two. Surprise number two is the fact that God ultimately accomplishes his work for us in his Son Jesus and through Jesus' name. Micah tells us that this individual is going to come from tiny, insignificant Bethlehem. Max Lucado writes, "Curious, this royal throne room, no tapestries covering the windows, no velvet garments on the courtesans. And instead of a golden scepter, the king holds a crudely whittled olive wood rattle." Curious. Curious are the sounds in this court. Cows munching. Have you ever heard a cow munch? It's quite something. Hooves crunching. A mother humming. And a baby nursing. It could have begun anywhere. The story of the king. But curiously, it began in a manger. God had entered the world as a baby. Well, why does God do this? Well, because he is the God of surprise blessings. He wanted to share in our humanity. He wanted to demonstrate his humility. God came as a baby because he wanted us to know that he is humble and he is approachable. Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, in 1939, Winston Churchill was asked to speak into this regime that was gaining in power and influence in the world, called Russia. And Winston Churchill described Russia this way. He said, "Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma." The king of the universe was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying inside a manger. Not a mystery, but an approachable miracle. The anointed Messiah, the Emmanuel, God with us. Does this surprise you? I really hope it does. May you be blessed by the God of the surprise. You see, God wants to bless you today with this. Because truth be told, we are broken. There's a wide circle that comes right behind me, and it covers the whole bit of me when I say that. I'm broken. I know I'm broken. We are the broken. He wants to mend our brokenness through Jesus Christ today. He wants to gather you unto himself, and he wants to use you to declare his love and his glory to the world. And that's what we're all about here at KVC. That's our mission. Our mission is to go out into the world and to introduce others to Jesus Christ. It is to have those opportunities that we might be a window into the presence of Jesus, a doorway to a conversation of redemption. It's amazing how countless people have come through the doors of this place who have engaged in conversation with one of you, and God has begun his work of mending the brokenhearted. Well, the truth is that God wants to share in that with you. He wants to gather you unto you himself and use you to declare his love and glory to the world. I think the story about a surprise birthday party captures what God continues to do for us as we reflect his love in the world. Now, this is just a random husband who was writing a blog, and he stumbled upon and was surprised to discover what had happened as he had planned a party for his wife. And it reads something like this. After all the excitement and dust settled, my wife, the love of my life, told me in no uncertain terms that this was the best day of her life. While her appreciation and affirmation warmed my heart beyond measure, I noticed something had occurred for me as well. When I stopped to really think about it and examine what I felt and continued to feel as a result of this day, I realized it was the best day of my life as well. Me, being me, I always want to know why I experience what I do. Was it because she had her best day and I was partly to blame? Or was it something else? That's when it hit me. The reason this was the best day of my life, which I felt to my very core, was that I gave to her without any thought about myself. This is the first time I've ever given so fully of myself without thinking about what's in it for me. And how that hit me was both unexpected and, frankly, exquisitely beautiful. To this very day, she thanks me for putting on the surprise party of her life. And to this day, I am grateful that I learned one of the most important lessons in my life. Fulfillment at the deepest level with another human being is not about getting. It's all about giving fully, completely, and unreservedly without any thought of return. And the recipient receiving with full appreciation and without reservation. You know, that's what God wants you to discover through Jesus. He wants to give of himself fully. He wants to give of himself completely and unreservedly. And God doesn't expect anything in return. There are no strings attached to this gift. Jesus gave of himself fully and completely for you. The truth of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is actually verse 10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good things that were prepared for us in advance. God's got a story to tell about your life. As he has reached out in redemption to us. I hope you're surprised to discover this Christmas that a little baby coming into the world could change your destiny for all eternity. By just receiving that gift without hesitation, with full appreciation, without reservation. He has done this for you. You know, Micah called out to his people and said, God wants to gather you. And the one is coming and he'll be born in Bethlehem and he will make it all possible. Well, that surprise birthday party for that couple ended up having a double effect. The blesser was blessed. And that's what God wants to do for us. You know, the church is not a select circle of the immaculate, but a home where the outcast may come in. It is not a palace with gate attendants holding off at arm's length the stranger, but rather a hospital where the brokenhearted may be healed and where all the weary and troubled may find rest. May you be blessed as you surprise others with the blessing of the baby born in Bethlehem. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this Christmas, Lord, may we be surprised and blessed beyond imagination, Lord, as we once again come to the knowledge and the truth of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. And Father, we thank you that you do use broken things. Father, we just ask and pray that as we break this bread a little later on, Lord, that we will be reminded of the work of Christ, the reason the baby came, to save us all. Father, might we find nourishment for this journey. And Lord, as we go out into the world and reflect your glory and surprise others with the joy of our salvation, Lord, continue to open doors of opportunity that we might introduce others to Jesus, and in doing so, draw the broken closer to you. Father, be with us. Give us, Lord, a fresh vision of Jesus today, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his name we pray. Amen.